Hey, I'm Jeremy Strike. This is Jeremy Capodivielli and Anthony Jackson. Founder, executive. What's your role with Socially Creative?
I am a big-hearted visionary and facilitator.
Okay, interesting. And you are the CEO and founder, correct?
CEO and founder, yeah.
Absolutely, good for you. So what brought you to Socially Creative?
What brought? Like, well, when I was 6 years old.
No. Well, what sparked the idea?
There are a lot of stories that sparked the idea. And
and
really for my heart for people to, I think seeing in so many environments where people aren't connecting, misunderstanding each other, and partly inspired by my experience being Mexican American and having experiences with my father, who didn't learn English until he was 24, and seeing that I didn't know him for most of my life until I learned Spanish. And so all these nuances about how we miss each other because of cultural differences and lenses and different things inspire my passion for bringing people together in creative ways.
Oh, that's excellent. You know, language is definitely a creative endeavor in itself.
Mm.
¿Hablas español o no?
No. Muy poquito.
We can't all. But so tell me, what's the value of Socially Creative?
I mean, one, for so many team environments are just kind of tight, and people, and actually, like, as much as people try to connect and have and create workplaces where people get along, problems always come up, and it's a natural part of the process where people need to go through kind of that storming stuff and some of the conflict. And one of the things that we provide with Socially Creative are tools and experiences that bring people into those conversations and into those engagements and help them move through them rather than holding on to stuff and having all that and all those, you know, unsaid things get in the way of actually people working better together and caring for each other.
That's great. So you're cultivating like an ecosystem of creative.
And you can say more on that too.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it like this. We all know that certain conversations have to happen in order for us to all feel a sense of belonging, for us to become a little bit more diverse. And then we're here in the beautiful Bay Area, right? One of the meccas of diversity. And even here, we find ourselves a little scared or intimidated, not encouraged to kind of have the conversations that we really need to have that about our differences. And so how do we talk to each other about these differences in a way that doesn't offend the person that we want to get to know better? And how do we have that person that normally would be offended let that guard down a little bit more in order to let somebody in? And so we try to develop strategies through art and storytelling as the tools to reach this inclusive to reach inclusion and diversity and anti-oppression and all of these isms and buzzwords that we all want to try to change. And if we can do that in the workplace, well, what if there was a system at which we can change the way people dealt with each other or interacted with each other in the workplace, that even if they stopped working there, they would still carry that on when they leave? Well, now you have a company that is certainly producing leadership, right? Because now you're using something that is true to you at work through these experiences that help us create more belonging. And then you're taking them from work, regardless of where you go after that, you still have that part of you that knows what this thing is that'll help us all get there.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I mean, working with the creativity as well, you know, it's kind of something that, like, we as humans have always done, right? Like, we bond through song and, you know, painting and things like that. So that's a really great idea. I think it should work, right?
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah.
Well
it's work. It's already working.
Yeah.
Where it's being used. It's working.
Yeah. That's great.
And you said that you highlighted language, I think, just before this conversation. And that's one of the ways that we see art. It's like, whose language do we speak when we walk into a room, and whose perspective or experience is left out when we're speaking English, when there might be a handful of people in there who can express themselves in a whole nother way in a different language.
Right.
And so the arts provide people from, you know, introverts, extroverts, different language backgrounds. It's a way for people to come together and actually process their experiences in a way that works for more people than not.
Oh,
I mean, I want to say everybody, but in the realm of No.
Nothing to anybody. That's very cool though. And I think you're onto something with the, you know, having as many languages as possible. It's something like, you know, maybe having three bridges that lead to an island rather than one or two. You know, you're able to connect in a more seamless way.
And let's imagine that for a second. So there's these three different ways to get to this island. That means that you're gonna get to this island and you're gonna reach this island from different perspectives, right? And from different parts of the island. And so we're all responsible for conveying what this part of the island is like to the other people, so to the person that came in on this side, the person that came on that side, so that at the end of it, we all have a shared vision and view and a healthy relationship on this island that we're all now sharing, right? And so there's nothing wrong with having the different, sometimes we think the fault is in our different perspectives, as opposed to the fault being us not putting away our own value baggage enough to understand someone from their perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And so if I come into this and I already have my preconceptions of what I think it would be like in your shoes, or what I think you mean by what you're saying, as opposed to put those things away so I can really understand you fully for what you're trying to give me, put this away. And so I just liked your analogy of getting to the island in the three ways. So,
thank you.
And I think about, I teach social emotional learning and anti-bullying practice to children as well. And I always tell these kids at the end, I say, we teach things like mindful breathing and how to express how you feel so you can get what you need, and restoration and all these different practices. And at the end of these things, I always say, I have a challenge for you kids. I say, go home and, well, first I'll ask them, how many of you know someone at home that needs to stop and breathe? How many of you know someone at home that needs to use a more effective way at how to share how they feel? And they're all raised their hand, yeah, my mom, my auntie, my grandmother. And so I always say, well, what if you went home and taught someone at home how to do this? So that's one of my favorite things about when I'm working in the kids sector, is giving them something that they can then teach to adults, empowering them to teach us, because sometimes we lose touch with that inner kid, and that's the most innocent part of us, is that part of us that is still a kid.
Right.
So how do we enhance that? How do we expound upon that feeling enough to be able to look at someone else with a different set of lenses, right?
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. You know, the unacculturated, you know, children, they can be like teachers for us as well.
They can be teachers for us. They outnumber us.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's true. They'd be great if they took over in some way.
Life would be a lot more fun.
It'd be a lot more fun, that's for sure.
And really think about it. Think about like what a kindergartner sees when they go to a park, right? A kindergartner goes to the park and they just want to play. When they get there, they see a lot of kids. Some kids may have some disabilities. They may be different sizes, different colors, different cultures. And a kindergartner, they don't care about none of that. No. All they do is they see kids and they want to go play. So what that means is that somewhere between there and becoming an adult, then someone else has shaped or influenced you to feel differently about certain things. And then that becomes your new reality, right? Mm-hmm. But if we can wake up that part of us that was a kindergartner that didn't care what they saw, they just wanted to play. They didn't care about your differences. Right, they just wanted to play with you. Mm-hmm. They didn't see themselves as better than you. They don't know, have a concept of who's better when they're in kindergarten.
Right.
They don't have a concept of rumors and gossip or any of these things, or any of these things.
It's just more simple and less nuanced and easier for us to grasp.
It's easier.
Yeah. It's definitely easier.
So what about when we do that in the workplace? How much happier, how much more productive is a worker that's happier? Well, we all know the answer to that.
Yeah. All right, Anthony.
Thank you.
Jeremy, this is excellent. Looking forward to what Socially Creative has in store.
Thank you for having us.
Excellent. Thanks for having us here. Yeah.